Warning, the information and opinions within are solely the views of the individuals involved, contains content not suitable for anyone.
Alrighty, thanks for listening to or watching the Blockware Beat podcast. We've got it on Tuesday the 23rd of April at about, 7:36 p.m. AEST. On this week's show, the crypto coaster climbs again, while the Bitcoin halving goes off with a bit of a whimper. Washington, D.C. is coming to Upland, the role of avatars in the metaverse. The U.S. Air Force holds first ever human versus AI aerial dogfight. What could possibly go wrong there? Manchester City and OKX release limited edition jerseys tied to rare NFTs. And Mythical Games embraces Polkadot in a move that could potentially revolutionize Web3 gaming. Plus, as always, we grant ourselves with some real-world insights with a few doses of reality from the Meatsuitiverse. Let's start off by taking a look at currently what's happening in some of the crypto markets. So this week in the crypto market, the global crypto market cap has seen an ascent, increasing by 4.5% to a substantial $2.43 trillion. Despite these shifts, the market sentiment remains in the greed territory, holding steady at 65 on the Fear and Greed Index. Bitcoin, maintaining its market lead, has experienced a growth of 4.1%, pushing its value to a bit over $66,150. Ethereum trails with a modest 2.6% increase, now at a price of $3,170. Standout performers in some of the coins that I cover include WAX leaping an impressive 11% and EOS climbing a significant 13.2%, back up to 84 cents. Cardano joins the notable climbers with a 13.1% jump to just, 52 cents. Among the other altcoins, Shiba Inus made a bit of a splash with a remarkable 19.5% surge. Gala, not to be overshadowed, has gained 16.5%. Tether's notable 15.9% increase takes it to $2.39, with Sandbox following closely behind, appreciating by 12.4% to just under 50 cents. Decentraland and Axie Infinity have also shown strong performances with 11.4% and 10.1% increases respectively. And that's reflected in their updated prices, of course, of 47 cents and $7.62. Bucking the upward trend, there's always one. Radix saw a minor dip of 1.7%. Will we see us going back to the red again in next week? 1 week it's red, 1 week it's green. Time will tell. Anyhow, the biggest news for crypto through the week, of course, was the Bitcoin halving on April 20th. Well, it concluded with less drama than expected, quietly influencing the market dynamics without immediate price volatility. This fourth reduction of mining rewards, while initially a non-event for many, signifies profound long-term consequences for miners and the broader crypto economy. The halving effect on supply could eventually exert upward pressure on Bitcoin's value, fingers crossed. Yet the event prices, Market analysis, Megan Stales observed a pre-halving increase in trading volume, as we all did, yet the event places profitability pressures on miners, as we said. Did I already say that bit? I probably did. Run a bit late this evening, apologies. Last week I was too early, this week I'm too late. So I'm all over the shop. Anyhow, the recent introduction of Bitcoin ETFs in the US has broadened Bitcoin's investor base, particularly among the older demographic, less inclined to interact with cryptocurrency exchanges directly, pardon me. Despite the halving, concerns over unresolved inflation and anticipated rate cuts cloud the short-term outlook. Historically, Bitcoin has shown significant post-halving price appreciation. Yes, just scroll out in the charts and some of that's pretty obvious, albeit after temporary pullbacks. Looking forward, the market anticipates heightened volatility with the adjustment to new supply levels, urging investors to adopt risk-managed long-term strategies. The next halving is scheduled for 2028 as the Bitcoin network edges closer to its 21 million coin cap, anticipated to be reached by 2140. Don't think I'll have to worry about that one myself. Continually embedding scarcity into its protocol, of course. Yes, would be nice for Bitcoin to make some monumental moves, and would be really nice if it went gangbusters and I could pay off the mortgage. Wouldn't that be spectacular? Anyhow, in other big news, Upland Metaverse news, Upland is preparing for a significant expansion with the virtual opening of Washington, D.C. on April 25th. This launch, or April 25th if you're in Australia, Anyhow, this launch introduces approximately 28,000 properties spread across 35 vibrant neighborhoods, capturing the essence and exclusivity of one of America's most iconic cities. In its first phase, the city will cover about 45% of its total planned scope, with no Fair Start Act, no FSA properties at all included. Very interesting, that one. So that, of course, reflects the high value and prestige of this in real world city. Property prices are set very high, with an average price tag that's 77,519 UPX, and the range stretching from what we've been told is a minimum of 44,110 UPX to an eye-watering 6,454,070 UPX for premium locales. Alongside the city opening, Upland introduces the inaugural city opening scavenger hunt. Lots of interesting new things they're trialling out with this one. So this scavenger hunt is a novel feature designed to enhance user engagement and excitement during city launches, if you want to get up at 2 bloody a.m. Anyhow, the scavenger hunt will allow players to explore the new city while collecting unique assets scattered all across the various properties. These assets are part of a special temporary patriotic collection that not only boosts players' earnings but also offers substantial UPEX bonuses. The assets linked to this collection will only be available for a few hours post-launch, adding a sense of urgency and excitement as players race to claim them. This temporary collection will be available for 30 days, providing players a limited window to maximize their benefits from the game enhancements. I had a bit of a look at that myself. I don't really see the point of temporary, ultra-rare and rare collections, except what they've said here is sense of urgency. Well, what does that mean? That means FOMO. Why do they want FOMO? Well, they want you to blow all of your UPEX before we get the Genesis Week City announcement. That would be my guess if I had to go the glass half empty approach. But yeah, if you are in a time zone that this suits, might be a bit of fun, something extra, something new that they're going to try, and can definitely not fault them for that, trying some new exciting stuff. Be even more exciting if they tried a different bloody time period for the release. Anyhow, in addition to the scavenger hunts, Washington DC's launch will be complemented by various strategic sales, including terminal sales and exclusive property reservations. Terminal sales will allow players to purchase either domestic or international terminals, contributing to a shared revenue pool from UPEX collected during travel through these terminals. Yes, it's very important that they do that. A unique feature for this city launch is the Washington DC Pass, which guarantees the holder access to mint a specific property within the city. Well, that's not unique to this city. It's unique to the last couple of city releases. Anyhow, the snapshot for those passes will be taken on May the 2nd, ensuring the pass holders have a chance to claim their properties before they are open to the public for minting. This structured rollout emphasizes strategic investment and community involvement, setting the stage for an active and dynamic expansion within Upland's metaverse. I also like the Block Explorer thing they did there, where, you know, you buy your UPEX and get Block Explorer there as well. So what do I think personally about all of this? Another US city. I tweeted this out today. Boring. I'm about as excited for this one as I would be a Bakersfield expansion. One of the good things is, I was talking to Swally about this today, is because the price is going to be so high, well, I definitely do not need to get up at 2 a.m. There's going to be, I would imagine, there's going to be heaps left if I just get up at my normal 4:30, 5:30 time, get up and do my usual work routine. I'm going to cast my eye over and I'm going to pick up one singular showroom property, showroom size property, and that's it. And then I'll hang out for collection reveal, and with prices as high as they expected to be, I would assume, unless people are really going to go bonkers with the whole FOMO situation, I'll pick up hopefully a decent collection set on the back end. So yes, I just say no to FOMO. That's what I do nowadays. I'm pretty good at that recently, although I did kind of slip backwards into old habits in South Lake Tahoe, so we shall wait and see. Anyhow, moving on. In Metaverse news, avatars are redefining engagement and connection as digital stand-ins for users. Avatars enable personalized interactions, fostering community and social bonds during virtual events. Yes, we know all about this in Upland. They allow for emotional expression through non-verbal cues, enhancing empathy and communication. Some of them do. And now with the seasonal passes too, Upland's kind of heading in that direction where you can kind of customize it a little bit, not much, but a little bit. In the metaverse, these avatars are not just figments of imagination, but entities capable of networking and forming professional connections, transcending geographical boundaries and barriers. The inclusivity of avatar representation ensures a welcoming virtual environment, reflecting the diversity of its user base. So I'm assuming they're talking about Sandbox, Decentraland and whatnot here. From AI-driven avatars that offer analytics to those facilitating virtual conferences, team building, and even AR-driven try-ons, avatars are key to unlocking immersive experiences and driving forward the metaverse's potential for businesses and individuals alike. And yes, if we talk from an Upland perspective as well, myself and many others have built branding around their avatars. So yeah, there's lots of opportunities for avatars to enhance engagement and immersive experiences in various metaverse environments. Now, my eyes nearly fell out of my head when I was doing the research for this next article. I couldn't quite believe the headline myself, but apparently this is a thing. So the US Air Force has held the first ever human versus AI aerial dogfight. So what does my little summary here say? So in a historic moment for military aviation, the US Air Force has successfully conducted the first human versus AI aerial dogfight. The test involving an AI-controlled F-16D X-62A, also known as Vista, against a manned jet was part of a DARPA's Air Combat Evolution program, which began experimenting with AI in fighter jets in December in 2022. There you go. I don't think I'd really heard much about AI back in December 2022. But that kind of stands to reason that the military was playing around with it long before it became public knowledge. Anyhow, it goes on to say, despite having a human on board with a kill switch for the AI, there was no need to intervene, showcasing the AI's capability to autonomously handle high-stakes flight maneuvers. DARPA did not disclose the winner of the dogfight, but the test signifies a potential shift in the nature of aerial combat, highlighting how autonomous systems may reshape warfare. The ACE program's progress includes extensive software developments from over 21 test flights, hinting at future operations where pilots may simply oversee autonomous technologies in actions. I mean, this is just straight up Terminator shit. Crazy, crazy stuff. Very, very scary indeed. Yeah, don't know how to feel about that one. Anyway, it's definitely interesting. In NFT news, Manchester City, in partnership with cryptocurrency exchange OKX, has unveiled a unique NFT initiative titled Unseen City Shirts. This limited NFT collection offers fans a chance to win exclusive jerseys and match day experiences. The initiative leverages the OKX app for minting digital collectibles, which could yield redesigned football shirts based on the NFT's rarity. The campaign features limited edition jerseys with hand-painted designs by artist Christian Jeffrey, incorporating iconic symbols like the Lancashire Rose and the Manchester Worker Bee. Algorithmically determined rarity factors in the NFT give holders access to special experiences, including playing on the pitch, match tickets, and limited edition merchandise. This move aims to engage more tech-savvy fans and introduce digital ownership through Web3, aligning with Manchester City's strategy to delve further into innovative and evolving technological spaces. All of that sounds really cool. Not that I give a crap about football or soccer, but just what that all signifies and all of the underlying tech and all of that sounds really, really cool. And racing through the show this week, as I said, I'm very late this tonight. In Web3 gaming news, Mythical Games is transitioning its operations from Ethereum to Polkadot, aiming to revolutionize the Web3 gaming space with its new ecosystem, Mythos. Citing Ethereum's limitations in transaction speed and scalability, Mythical Games is embracing Polkadot's superior capabilities to support the ambitious scaling plans for its upcoming games. The shift promises enhanced scalability and the ability for partners to create their own chains within an expansive, interconnected gaming universe. This strategic move is designed to bridge the gap between the blockchain and traditional gaming, ensuring compatibility with mainstream gaming platforms like the Epic Game Store. The gaming community is eagerly anticipating the debut of Mythos, which is expected to introduce a new era of innovation in blockchain gaming. Yes, more and more of these Web3 gaming platforms, companies, and whatnot are moving into some of the other coins and away from Ethereum, whereas Upland, of course, is getting set to embrace Ethereum with this whole Sparkle thing. bit of a strange one. I know lots of people raised that question back when that was first announced. It's one of those have to wait and see moments. Anyhow, that's all for that. We're moving on to the Mitsudiverse news. First up in the Australian Mitsudiverse news, a viral photo of tightly packed new houses in a Sydney subdivision has sparked outrage over Australia's urban planning, drawing attention to the lack of adequate living spaces. Critics argue these developments with minimal setbacks and negligible green spaces could pose serious health risks due to the urban heat island effect. Experts stress the urgent need for better planning to accommodate the rising population while preserving the quality of life. Yeah, if you click the link to the description and have a look at the actual photo, not this comical one that Dali threw out, but yeah, not enough room to swing a cat, I believe that was the headline. That's quite a common saying over here. Anyhow, moving on, in New Zealand Mitsudiverse news, a disturbance in Dunedin involving a man aggressively knocking on doors quickly escalated when police responded to the scene. The man, agitated by the police's presence, as you would be, assaulted an officer by placing him in a chokehold. He was subsequently arrested and faces multiple charges, including unlawfully being on a property, assaulting police, and resisting arrest. Now, it does say man, it doesn't say child. The old knock and run, that was a lot of fun back in the day as a naughty little teenager. But yes, choking out a copper, probably not a wise move. And lastly, in Japanese Mitsudiverse news. Now, this is probably, if you're not listening on Spotify and you're watching on the YouTube, you're probably looking at that image and thinking, what the bloody hell? We've got a hamster in a ramen bowl. Well done, Dali, on this one. So anyhow, at Ramen Jiro's in Tokyo's Hachioji district, a customer accidentally left their pet hamster at the restaurant. The staff discovered the hamster in its enclosure and promptly displayed a notice in hopes of reuniting it with its owner. In contrary to what this image shows, no, they didn't cook it up and put it in a bowl and serve it to customers. What they did was they left the sign there and waited for a while, and while they were waiting for somebody to come and claim it, a compassionate restaurant employee has adopted the abandoned hamster and is ensuring it has a new home. And that's it for this week. Nice short one. That's it. If you'd like to get involved with any of the Upland Down Under Metatainment Productions MVE stuff that I do, or if you have an Upland NFT or Metaverse product, service, or event to promote, and send me Ben68 a DM and or get yourself in the NBA server, which is linked in the description. Don't forget to get on over to X and do all your sparkler airdroppy stuff. I just upgraded to level 3 myself. I don't think there's going to be enough time to get anywhere near level 4, but that's better than a poke in the eye with a burnt stick. Not sure what the figures are all going to represent yet. It's going to be very interesting to see. Anyhow, if you are getting involved in Washington, D.C., all the best to you. I'll be sleeping straight through and seeing what's left on the other side of things. All right, thank you very much and catch you later.